Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum is brought to you by the Sports Spectrum magazine. Have you gotten your subscription yet? I gotta tell you, Sports Spectrum's magazine might be the best thing that we do here at the Ministry of Sports Spectrum. And we've been going strong now for 38 years. This magazine has been a resource to help share the gospel of Jesus with those who love sports. If you're looking for a magazine and a resource for your kids, for your children, for your teenagers who love sports, I want to encourage you to get the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can subscribe today. Just go to sportspectrum.com, click the magazine icon at the top. And when you're there, we want to give you a little bit of a discount. This is for podcast listeners only. 15% off a Sports Spectrum quarterly magazine subscription. It's a one-year subscription. Use the code podcast15, podcast15, when you go subscribe to the Sports Spectrum magazine. Maybe get it for someone as a gift, but use that code podcast15 and you can get 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. We keep it affordable, we do, but we're giving you an extra 15% here. We think it's the best thing that we do. It makes a great resource. Check out the Sports Spectrum magazine. Use that code podcast15 and save 15% off. You can get it today at sportsspectrum.com. And we are also presented today here on Sports Spectrum by our friends at Water Mission. Go check them out, a Christian engineering nonprofit committed to providing clean, safe water and God's love to people all around the world. I'm telling you, Water Mission is legit. You got to sow into this ministry. You will not be disappointed. You can get involved today and learn more by going to watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I am Jason Romano. We are so glad that you're tuned into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, the intersection of sports and faith. We get to take sports and use it as a way to point people to the one truth. And, you know, there is a pun intended there, if you will, with our guest today, John Gordon, who has a new book called The One Truth Out. We'll talk about John and his book in a second. You can find us at our website, sportsspectrum.com. We have a lot of free resources there for you. Articles, devotionals, Monday through Friday, a daily devotional, all of our podcasts, great stories, testimonials, videos, the I Once Was content that we've been putting out over the past year. You can find it all for free at sportsspectrum.com. And if you want to get in touch with us, we'd love to get your feedback on the different interviews that we have, the different conversations. Maybe you have a guest idea. Maybe you want to advertise with Sports Spectrum. Maybe you want to invite Sports Spectrum to be a part of your event, your church gathering, your men's group, whatever that might be. You can email me directly. Jason@sportsspectrum.com is my email address. Jason@sportsspectrum.com. I'd love to hear from you. And I mentioned John Gordon. He is our guest today. He's been on the show a few times. I call him a semi-regular on Sports Spectrum's podcast. The author of 27 books, including 14 bestsellers. His books include the timeless classic, The Energy Bus, which has sold over 2 million. It's sold over 2 million copies. And The Carpenter, which is one of my favorites, probably my personal favorite, and it was a top five business book of the year. He's also written books called The Power of Positive Leadership, The Power of a Positive Team, The Coffee Bean, The Garden, and his latest book, The One Truth, Master Your Mindset, Live with Power, Heal Your Soul. The One Truth is coming out June 27th. You need to go get yourself a copy. You may wonder, why is John Gordon on? What's his connection to sports? Well, he's passionate about developing positive leaders and organizations and teams, including the sports world, Clemson football, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Los Angeles Rams. He's connected in the sports world like not many other authors and speakers are. I love John Gordon. He's a good friend. He's also really, really smart, and he writes a perfect book here, I think, called The One Truth. Get a pen, get a paper, take lots of notes. John has a ton of wisdom here. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation with author and speaker John Gordon here on Sports Spectrum. John Gordon, welcome back to Sports Spectrum, my friend. It's always great to see you.
Jason, always great to talk to you.
Yeah, I it's funny. This is, I think, our third or fourth time that we've had you on the podcast, but you keep coming up with different books and different, you know, I don't know if you call them monikers or whatever you might want to call them, that relate to what I'm interested in, which is sports and faith, but even just the faith aspect of what you're doing. And really, I got to start with this first before we get into any books or One Truth or anything like that. Pickleball. So I see you on social media, you're rubbing elbows with Tebow and others, of course, and you're playing pickleball. Is this your new sport, pickleball, right now, John Gordon?
It is my new sport. It's one that I'm actually really good at, so I can actually excel in this sport, which is great. I can no longer play hoops at a high level. I played basketball with Dabo Sweeney. We played one-on-one. We played team ball. That's a whole other story, but that was really fun playing basketball with Dabo. But he's a great basketball player. I was really surprised by his level of play and how good he was. He was a Division I level college basketball player coming out of high school. No, most people don't know that.
Yeah.
And one thing I realized was and learned, he's a fierce competitor. Like, you're playing, I had him beat in a shooting competition, and all he has to do is miss the shot. I make the three, he misses, I win. He makes the shot. I make the next three. If he misses, I win because I'm ahead by a few points. He would not miss. This guy refused to lose. He was so fierce, so competitive. Even then in one-on-one and team ball, I just watched him battle. I'm like, this is why he is the leader he is. So that was just an interesting side note doing that. So then he said to me, though, he said, I won't play in pickleball because I'll get killed. I'm like, you definitely will. But then after he beat me in basketball, he said, okay, next time we get to play pickleball so you could have a big win there and crush me there. So I love pickleball. I've been playing a lot. Played with a lot of young guys. Played with Matt Rambo, who's on Team USA Lacrosse. Chris Bocklet, who was an all-world player and played at UVA National Championship lacrosse player as well. Another guy who was a former tennis player at Auburn. So we play and we battle. And it's just great to battle and play with these guys. So now I've challenged Drew Brees. I've challenged David Pollack, Doug Ellen from Entourage. I'm challenging all these guys. Let's go. And so this Tim Tebow thing came up where, you know, they had the Tim Tebow Foundation and supporters who were supporting the foundation. And I was invited to join them because I was speaking to the group that were supporting his foundation and also to his team. Yeah. And so they said, hey, come out and play pickleball as well. So it was me and Ed Milet, who's also a speaker and writer and a massive influencer, versus Tim Tebow and Pete Vargas, and we battled, and
did
I gotta admit we lost at the end in overtime. Yeah, it was game to 11. We went to 12-11, 12-12, and I think we eventually lost like 14-12 or something like that. Tebow was a competitor. He had great hands, like really talented. Like, the guy is just a great athlete. He's massive,
yes,
but he's just also a really good athlete. Now, if it was just he and I, Tim needs to know I'll take him down one-on-one, which is we're gonna play. but with the group, with the team dynamic, we lost.
Wow. What is it about this sport? I gotta tell you, I was speaking at a church, I want to say it was 2000, and a leadership summit thing in 2021, and you know, the pastor, and his name is Nick, he hosted me, and he kind of, you know, showed me around the area, and he introduced me to a couple people who went to their church, and I ended up at this guy's house who had a pickleball court in the backyard of his house. And I'm like, what is this sport? And he kind of shows me, and it was brand new. I mean, it's probably been around for a while at that point, but this was the fall of 21, and it's the first time I'd heard of this sport. Now it feels like it's the fastest growing sport in America.
It took off during COVID because people were outside looking for something to play and interact with people, and it's social. It's like ping pong and tennis combined with a little bit of racquetball from a standpoint. If you have racquetball skills, you'll be good at pickleball. And I grew up playing racquetball as a kid. And so it's not a big court. And I think what people love about it is it's not hard to pick up. Like, if you and I go play tennis and you haven't played tennis before, you can play tennis. But with pickleball, you can grab a racket and start hitting the ball back and forth. And if you're a decent athlete, decent hand coordination, you'll actually be pretty good at pickleball. And then as you get better and better, it becomes even more fun. And so it's a really interactive, it's fast paced. There's strategy, there is skill, hand eye. And again, the team dynamic of playing with another person also makes it very social and fun. So I think that's why it's taken off. And again, it's easy to pick up when you first start playing.
I mean, John, I'm going to be 50 in September, and I'm looking for something that I can, you know, grasp into my 50s to stay active, because basketball was my sport too. Played it in my 20s, 30s, 40s, even playing in men's leagues. And then like 42, 43, the knees went out. I couldn't recover. The next morning, I was sore as all could be. And I'm like, all right, no more. I'm going for walks. I'm going for prayer walks like you do, right? I'm going for these gratitude walks. And it's great. I love my walks. But maybe pickleball is the next phase of my into my 50s. Because you just turned 50 recently too, right?
Yeah, I did. Well, actually, I turned 52, but we celebrated my 50th birthday out in LA because we couldn't have it during COVID. So my friends threw me a 50th birthday party at 52. But what I decided, Jason, is I'm no longer aging. I am staying at 50.
Yes.
And that's my age going forward. When someone says, how old are you? 50. 10 years from now, how old are you? 50.
I'm sticking with it.
Saying it because I truly believe that the mind, what we believe, the body actually receives. Yes. And so we have to say it, think it, believe it. And the more you say it and believe it, your body will actually listen to you. So you got to refuse to age. And that's what I'm doing right now.
I love it. I love it, John Gordon. All right. So we got to talk about one truth, because when I heard about the concept of the book, I was really excited and I knew we had to get you back on. It releases very soon, June 27th. This is a podcast that's going to release just before the date of the book coming out. But then I read it. You got to give me a little bit of an exclusive preview of the book. And I was like, whoa, John Gordon. Okay. This is unlike any book that I've read of yours. And you actually called it, I'm trying to find my quote here, like the most important work you've ever done, or most important book you've ever written, I think was the quote. We got to hear about this. Tell us about One Truth.
It is the most important book I've ever written. It's nothing like I've ever written before. It's completely different. Energy Bus, I believe, was ahead of its time. I wrote the Energy Bus back in 2006, talking about positivity and dealing with energy vampires and ways to bring this positive energy to work, to life, to home. I had just become a Christian when I wrote this book, and it took off. It has sold millions of copies. And it's funny, it's more popular now than it was when it first came out. So it was ahead of its time. And I really believe this new book, The One Truth, is really revolutionary in so many ways. It's psychological, it's biblical, it's based on truth. And when something is the truth, you will find it everywhere. And it really helps to explain a lot of the biblical principles and teachings that we know. And it helps people understand the one truth is that ultimately everything comes down to oneness and separateness. And there's a force, there's an evil that's always trying to separate us, always trying to divide us from ourselves, from other people relationally, and from God. And then there's oneness. There's a God who's always trying to unite us back to him, back to oneness. And out of oneness, we find peace. We find joy, power, love. We find purpose. We find meaning. And out of disconnection, out of separateness, we find despair and discouragement, fear, worry, insecurity, anxiety. And you could look at this world and you could see that everything comes down to oneness and separateness. And once you see it through this lens, it explains everything. And this is, Jason, this is the key to mental health. It's the key to mental toughness. It's the key to high performance. And it really is the key to helping people understand their faith in a logical way. So I wrote this with the hope that seekers will understand that Jesus is the one who brings separateness to oneness, that he brings us to God. He restores what's been broken, what has been made separate. We weren't designed for separateness. We became separate in the garden, but Jesus restores that and brings us back to wholeness and back to oneness. And then my goal with this book also is that Christians who read it, who already believe in Jesus will understand that they still need healing.
Yeah.
They still actually have wounds and holes in their soul that need to be healed, and that you could be saved in the spirit. So when you give your life to Jesus, you're saved, but your soul still needs healing. And that's why you could be a Christian going to heaven and feel like you're living in hell, because you haven't healed the sins and the dysfunction and the patterns of the past. Romans 8:5-6, a mind governed by the flesh will lead to death. A mind governed by the spirit will lead to life and peace. And that's really the crux of the book. What is our mind being governed by? And the flesh and the enemy will always try to govern it and lead us to dysfunction and separateness, which leads to death. Or we can be governed by the spirit and be renewed by the transforming of our mind on a daily basis, taking every thought captive. Mm-hmm. And I explain in this book, literally examples of oneness and separateness in business, leadership, team, individually, talking about traffic. We talk about all these different examples where you can see how oneness and separateness play out. And also, ultimately, it really plays out in mental health. Like, here's a great example. You know, I tell this story about running with Jimmy Page and Dan Britton, two guys who are really big in the FCA. And Dan Britton runs international ministry for FCM. I'm sure you know Dan.
Of course.
And we talk about, you know, being at FCA camp, and I ran with them. And man, if I was by myself, I would have definitely given up in a third mile when we were running. We were running 5 miles. I haven't run 5 miles since college.
Yeah.
But Dan challenged me. So we run 5 miles, and I'm really ready to give up in 3 miles. But I have my friends with me, pushing me and challenging me and praying for me and encouraging me. And I made it to that fifth mile. And I know this without a doubt, I would have given up in the third mile by myself, but because I was with them, I made it to the fifth mile. We're better together. And together we accomplish amazing things. We were made for relationship.
Yeah.
We were made for oneness. We heal in a loving relationship. God is relational. The triune God of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is literally a relational God. He's a relationship unto himself. So think about that. When God heals you, when you give your life to God, he heals you through the relationship of God. So relational psychology also shows us we heal in a loving relationship. So we're better together. Now think about life and the disconnection and the isolation. And we just saw the research that shows that loneliness is an epidemic and it's more dangerous than smoking. And we know in Genesis, it says it's not good for the man to be alone. We are meant to be together. We're meant to be in relationship with ourselves, with our spouse, with a community, and ultimately with God. And we heal that way. And my son summed it up best. He said, Dad, because my son's 23. He said, Dad, isn't it wild how, like, when you're single, like, the enemy's always trying to do everything to get you to have sex. And then when you get married, the enemy does everything to keep you from having sex after you're married.
It's wise for a 23-year-old to recognize that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how he knew that, but so many men laugh at this when I share it, but it's true. And they go, you know what? I turned to him. I said, Cole, the devil is a you know what. And I usually don't curse, but I admit I cursed in that moment because he's so subversive.
Yeah.
Because he has all these cunning ways to get us to believe the lies that we're separate, that we're alone, that we're isolated. And the battle takes place in our mind. And the One Truth explains this, how so many young people today, so many adults are losing the battle of their mind, and they're feeling anxious. They're feeling worried. They're feeling stressed. They want to give up.
Yeah.
They get so discouraged. They're sad. They're worried. They're mad. They're chronically stressed. And it's because they're losing the battle of their mind and they're believing the lies that they think are from them. So they have to understand these thoughts are not coming from them, because who would ever choose to have a negative thought? I wouldn't. Would you?
No, of course not.
So the thoughts are always coming in. So once we understand there's a battle of our mind, we don't have to believe the lies that they're telling. It changes everything. So I know I'm going on a rant here, but I talked to a young teenager who was suicidal. And when I taught him the One Truth and shared these teachings with him, and he understood those negative thoughts were not coming from him, he stopped beating himself up.
Wow.
He stopped feeling guilt and shame for the thoughts that were in his head. I said, you have a lot of thoughts in your head. He said, oh, so many. I said, did they bombard you all the time? He said, they accuse me and they attack me and they bombard me and they just make me want to give up. And once he understood they were not from him, he stopped beating himself up for the thoughts that were in his head.
That's good.
And this was a game changer. So this is part of the teaching. There's so much more in it, but this helps to start to teach how mental health really works and how the brain is impacted by the thoughts that we think and how then our brain impacts the thoughts that we think. It's a cycle. A mind governed by the flesh leads to death, right? Affects your mind. the brain not being healthy will affect your mind. A healthy mind, a healthy spirit affects your brain. I actually share the theory that I have that the brain is an antenna. And we talk about that in the book. And I think that is revolutionary. That right there, I believe, is truly gonna revolutionize mental health. And by the way, I was walking one day and this book came to me. This idea came to me. These ideas just kept coming to me. And I knew I needed to write it when I was helping people, athletes, NFL coaches, superstar NBA players, NHL GMs. And I was sharing this, all these different coaches and athletes I know. And they were like, oh man, that's it. Man, that's it. I get it. I see it. And then helping the teenagers, because I helped several that summer who were suicidal or depressed or chronically stressed, transformed them. And here's the crux, Jason. And then I'll be quiet.
So you can ask the next question. But yeah,
here's the crux. We're not meant to go through life chronically stressed, worried, fearful, anxious, and insecure all the time. That's how most people are going through life.
Yes.
We've come to accept it as normal because so many people are going through life this way. We're not meant to live this way. We're meant to live with power. We're meant to live with peace, with joy, with love, with passion, with courage, with confidence, with a spirit of love, not fear. We're meant to be courageous. We're meant to have faith. That's how we're meant to go through life. And that happens when we are one and connected to our God, to the Father who loves us, who has a plan for us, and actually wants to give us this power to live this way. Not our own power, but God's power. And yet so many people are going through life powerless. And that is the whole point of this book, to help people reclaim the power that God has given them and gives them on a daily basis.
Oh, it's okay to rant, by the way. It's a podcast, John. That's good. That was awesome, by the way. The one truth, people need to read it. And I think you summarized it beautifully. I will say this, and I've just noticed this. It may have been because of COVID. And if anybody follows you on social media, they know where I'm going here. But you've been more vocal, I think, about your faith in the last 2-3 years than I've ever seen you. And I could be wrong on that because I've known you for about almost a decade now. But is that fair to say the last couple of years, you know, God's been working in you a little bit?
Oh, big time. I mean, God has been working in me in amazing ways. And I've been more obedient to him, surrendering more, trusting more. And during COVID, I saw his miracles happen. I saw his power. I saw me being given a choice between fear and love.
Yes.
And I chose love. I chose purpose. I chose to be bold during that time. And it was during that time that I saw God's power work through me. I saw the miracles that he did. I saw my son struggle during the quarantine and COVID, being a college student, like so many college students, bringing him home. And then I saw him come to God. I saw him give his life more to God. He had been saved. He had been baptized. But I saw him really just work through and really work through healing.
Yeah.
And I saw God's miracles in his life. I've been seeing miracles in my daughter's life, my wife's life, my life. And I just know that I can't be silent. And more importantly, like, if you have the answer, if you know why we're suffering, you know why we're dealing with such mental health issues right now, and you have the answer and you're able to put it together in a way that will help people explain it, do something about it and live it and then share it. Like, we have all these practitioners right now that are trying to help people with their mental health. And I believe they're using faulty tools. They have a faulty framework. That's why more people are taking more medication than ever and struggling more than ever. We have more people struggling than ever. And we're talking about this and doing more things than ever, but we're not doing the right things. Now, am I against medication? Of course not. There's a place for it. But as Dr. Amen says, it should not be your first choice. So many people need healing. Right now you go, I'm feeling anxious. I have this anxiety. I'm stressed a lot. I have trouble sleeping. What do? Take this medication. Having no idea what the medication actually does to your brain and the antenna of your brain and the mitochondria of your brain. Read Brain Energy if you want to know more about the mitochondria of the brain and how it has an impact and role in mental health. And so if the brain is an antenna, then every cell in your brain is actually an energy cell. Well, guess what? Mitochondria is the energy cells of your brain. And certain foods that we eat, substances and so forth, we're finding actually affect the mitochondria of our brain, which would then affect the antenna, which would then cause the antenna to tune into more negative thoughts and a lower frequency, since thoughts are spiritual and no one has ever found a thought inside of a brain. Neuroscientists have not found a thought inside of a brain because they don't exist in the brain. They exist in the mind and the soul. They exist in consciousness. The brain is the hardware. It's where the activation happens. See, that's a problem. Scientists right now is looking at the brain, thinking thoughts are found in the brain. No, they're found in consciousness, in our mind and our soul. And we as Christians know that. And yet so many Christians don't know that. It says it biblically, and yet it's like we have forgotten the truth that is already there, yes. Which is wild. Because I ask Christians all the time, your negative thoughts come from you. And they're like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah. They're in my head. And it's like, no, you gotta teach them. Let me tell you what it says here. Let me tell you what it says here in the Bible here. And as Paul
take
tells
every
us,
cap-
right?
What is it? Take every captive thought and make it obedient to Christ.
Take every thought captive, make it obedience to Christ. And he also talks about the spiritual warfare, that this is a spiritual warfare that is happening in the spiritual world, not in our brains. So what's really cool is that I also share in the book is that, truth is truth, and you'll find it everywhere. And it's funny, the more we seem to find the truth, we actually realize that science actually proves the scriptures correct over time. It takes a while, but the more we actually do that, the more we actually see how the two converge. Science is the search for truth. The Bible reveals and shares the truth. So one would lead to the truth if it's a search for truth. So the science actually brings us to the truth. And I actually share this in the book, and I make the claim, and I share that this is the direction we should be looking. I don't say I have all the answers.
Yeah.
Because, okay, I could be wrong. You know, I could be wrong. I don't think I am, but I could be. We might have new information, new things that come our way. I share this is my theory. Let's start looking in this direction based on biblical truth, based on what common sense is actually telling us when you really think about these things, and what our own experiences are telling us when you, for instance, have a kid who smokes pot, and next thing you know, he does it on the weekend, and 3 days later, he starts to feel really depressed and down and has a lot of negative thoughts. Why is that?
Yeah.
What's the mechanism by which that happens? And it would make sense if the brain is an antenna and you mess with the antenna of your brain, it starts to tune into more negative thoughts after the fact. And that's the enemy's whole goal, is to get us to tune into more negative thoughts. So we actually lose the battle of the mind, whereas we can tune into more positive thoughts and tune into God. So in the garden, we had two frequencies. In the garden, you had the serpent and you had the voice of God. Two main frequencies. What were you tuning into? What were you listening to? And the voice you listen to determine the direction of your life. So your destiny is voice activated. And so you have to understand that the more you tune into the voice of God, to his voice, and tune into his spirit, and you actually surrender to him. And I have a whole action plan at the end on how to do this through prayer. Right? And the more you do this, it's amazing how God will start to move through you. So yes, just from my own... my own journey, as you can tell, like when I wrote The Energy Bus and The Carpenter and Training Camp and The Garden was my most overt faith-based book, because it was a story about two teenagers struggling with fear, stress, and anxiety. And in that book, I share that Jesus is the answer. So I share that at the end of the book. In the other books, it was more subtle and my faith was woven into the stories, but still you can read if you were, you know, a non-Christian or a Christian, and you just loved the book because the truth was there, but it wasn't like, boom, this is the truth. It was part of the story. But just with this book, and just it came to me, and as it's coming to me, and I'm getting more and more of the ideas and more of the insights that God's revealing to me, and then I'm having conversations with pastors, with theologians, and having conversations and really diving deep into the scripture, knowing the science, knowing what is going on, then seeing, does the biblical understanding of this explain it, and is it true, and then actually seeing that it is true, then you're like, wow, this is confirmation of what I thought, what I felt like God was revealing to me, then to actually then go read it in the scripture and see it, and then go, whoa, just like, again, Romans 8:5-6, you see that and you're like, man, it's all right there. Once you understand that, then you understand everything. And if we live our life that way, we're going to be able to live with more positive choices, which lead to more powerful outcomes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's excited. I'm excited about sharing. And you know, again, it's always in many ways difficult at times to take a stand like this and to write a book this way. And several of the pastors who have read it said, "Wow, John, I cannot believe how bold you were."
Yes. I felt faith. The same way, John. I felt the same way.
You know, as a leadership, you know, as a leadership author, you know, as a guy who talks about positivity and teamwork, but then to come out with a book that actually is literally pointing people to the truth and sharing what is the truth. That's a really big stand. But I feel like, again, too many people are suffering and we're not talking about it. And that's why I say, this is not a book like, oh, the battlefield of your mind. This is not a book like winning the war in your mind. This explains why those books make sense. This supports those books. This is a book that explains what's going on under the hood and puts it all together. And I had someone say, I feel like you share with me the secrets of the universe in literally 140 pages that now explain like how God works and how it all works. And I think it's going to lead a lot of people to Jesus. I really do. And again, as I said in the book, I didn't write this book to bring people to Jesus. I wrote this book because in searching for the truth and knowing that there's separation, and everyone understands that, and that the answer is oneness, that Jesus is actually the solution to the separation, and he's the only thing that explains it. And once you understand that there's a hole in our soul and that Jesus brings love and forgiveness to heal the hole in our soul, that we all have inflammation of the soul, which is from sin. We all have that inflammation. For the body to heal, you have to remove the inflammation. Well, how do you remove the inflammation in your own body, in your own soul? Self-love is not great enough.
No.
It's not good enough. It doesn't work because we all have flaws and it's not perfect love. It's not a high enough vibration in essence to actually heal. And so what do we need? We need God's love, his perfect love. And through Jesus, that's the mechanism that created for Jesus to come heal the hole in our soul through love and forgiveness, to then make us whole. And once you understand that, everything in the universe, everything in the world makes perfect sense. The God who created the universe, who created us to be one with him, who saw the separation happen. And yes, God allowed the separation to happen. God allowed it. He could have stopped it. He allowed it. He allowed it because he had to give us a choice. And now he gives us a choice to come back to him, to oneness. It's a beautiful, amazing story.
I love it.
And once you understand how it works, not the book, but God's story.
Yeah.
And then I really feel like I'm just now explaining the story to people in a fresh new way. Someone said, I feel like you're sharing like the gospel in a way that a lot of people haven't heard before. I'm going to be able to understand it from a logical perspective and then a healing perspective, and then bring them back to the truth in an emotional, powerful way. Because when I gave my life to Jesus, it changed everything. And I can't explain what happened, but now I couldn't explain it. Now I feel like I know what happened. And I know why I healed my depression. I know how I healed my anxiety. Looking back, it was the walks of prayer that I was doing every day for the past 20 years, renewing my mind on a daily basis and bathing the soul in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bathe in it. Because if it's just a one-time event like baptism, where you take a cucumber and you put it into pickle juice and you do it just once, that's baptism. One time, okay, you've been saved, but have you been transformed? Has your soul been renewed and transformed?
Yeah.
Has your mind been renewed and transformed? No, not from a one-time event, although your spirit's been saved. So what you have to do every day is bathe the soul in the Holy Spirit. And that's the taking every thought captive, and don't be conformed by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're renewing it every day by being joined as one spirit through Jesus. So your spirit and God's spirit become one spirit. And as you do that, that's the renewing and the healing that takes place over time. And that comes through surrender and trust and prayer and giving your life to God and being obedient and listening to his voice. It talks about walking with God on a daily basis. And that's what I've been doing. And that's where my ideas are coming from. That's where the wisdom is coming from. That's where my knowledge is coming from. It's coming from that walk, not on my own. Because trust me, I don't have these ideas on my own. God's giving me these ideas as I'm walking with him to be obedient and then do his work. And we all have that same power. We all have that same opportunity to do that with God.
For such a time as this, I feel like, Mr. Gordon, with this book, The One Truth, releasing June 27th, people got to go get it. I hope they're convinced after hearing this conversation that they need to get a copy for themselves, for their family, for their kids. I'm going to get one for my teenage daughter because she needs to read this as well. As we wind down, this will be my last question for you. You talk about taking those walks quite a bit. I've been taking those walks now for a couple of years. I think I kind of learned that maybe from you from like 6-7 years ago when we first started connecting when I was writing my first book. And, you know, I go for a walk each day. You call them gratitude walks, I think. And there's so much to be grateful for. What are you most grateful for right now when you think about the life that you're in and the relationship with Christ? What are you most grateful for, John?
Yeah, they're walks of gratitude and prayer. So they started with gratitude and they moved to prayer. And now I do the P-R-A-Y-E-R talk where I praise, I repent, I ask God, I yield, I surrender, and then I expect and trust that he will deliver on his promises. And then I receive the blessings and the wisdom that he wants to give me. And I also receive all the people who he wants to bring me, who he wants me to serve and who he wants me to help and who he wants me to impact and who I'm just supposed to do life with and on this journey through life. So it's prayer that I'm doing now a lot. And as I walk, I'm doing it. My wife started doing it as well. And within a week, she noticed an amazing change in her spirit and how it's impacted her. So I think it's powerful. You know, Jason, couples that pray together, research from Gallup poll, 99% stay together.
Yeah.
So a couple that prays together, they stay together, 99%. Couples that go to church, 50% stay together. No different than not going to church versus going to church.
Wow.
It's the prayer. So what's happening? Truly believe it's you and your spouse praying together. Your spirit, your spouse's spirit, God's spirit, all becoming one spirit. So to me, that's what it's all about. So for me, I'm grateful for God. I'm grateful his spirit. I'm grateful that he has healed me over the years in many ways, still healing me. I'm thankful that he's allowed me to do this work, that he's used me to do this work. Everything I have is from him. Every book I've sold is from him. Everything I've done is from him. And so I give him all the glory and all the credit. So I'm just thankful for him, thankful for my kids. I'm thankful to see how God has impacted them and transformed them and take us through the battle. And we're still always in a battle and they're always going to be in a battle.
Yes.
But how he continues to give us strength the more we turn towards him and tune into him. Thankful, of course, for my wife. Like, our relationship is better than ever now. And yeah, people said when we wrote Relationship Grit, we shared our faith in the book. We shared our story. We shared how God is the answer for your relationship. You have to invite God into your marriage. People said you're going to be attacked like no other after you write that book. And guess what? We were. But I said, honey, let's not get divorced writing a book called Relationship Grit.
Yeah, probably not a good thing.
Which meant praying every night before bed, tuning to God even more, making him the center, surrendering even more, not allowing the enemy to take hold. See, if he can divide you, the enemy can. If he can divide you, he can then defeat you. But if you're one with God, then the enemy has no room to get in there. See, oneness is where their power is. So the enemy's sole goal is to continually to divide you in subtle, small ways. And then he starts creating these little divisions that eventually turn into a canyon. And then the space between man and God is where evil exists.
Yes, that's
right. So the enemy comes in between the space and then creates a canyon to mess with you, your relationships, and your life. So that's why you always got to be moving towards oneness in God. This works for teams too. Hey, sports teams. Hey, coaches. Create oneness with your team. Don't allow division to take place. The more you do, the team will be defeated. The more you create oneness, oneness of connection, commitment, purpose, mission, you have power as a team. Yeah. A team that is connected and united is a powerful team. A team that is separate and divided is a very weak team. So the same principles apply. And so that's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for these principles now and this understanding that allows me to see what's going on. The enemy doesn't like to be exposed. He doesn't like his game plan to be revealed. And I really feel like this does that. Mm-hmm. And I've been told I'm going to be attacked even more. And guess what? You know what? If it means saving lives and serving the kingdom, then I will do this work. It's easy. Jason, I can continue to write book after book about leadership and teamwork. And I'm going to write more books. I have a great book that I'm going to write about leadership, a cool new book I'm going to write. I have a new book that I'm going to write about teamwork. I have a fable I'm going to write based on the one truth that I've had for years, but I haven't been able to write it. And now I know why. I had to wait for the one truth to actually write it. So it's a fable based on these concepts. So I know what I'm writing next, but I knew I had to write this.
Yeah. The one truth. People need to go get their copy. Thank you, John, for coming on the show again. And thank you for your friendship. And I'm excited for this, man. I'm excited to see what God does in your life and through the book. And I expect God to do amazing things. I really do. I think a lot of people are going to come to know him because of the platform that God has given you over these past couple decades, to the point where now you can write a book like this and you have an audience that's built in that would want to read your books. And now they're going to hear the truth. And that excites me. So congrats, my friend. I'm happy for you.
I love that you said that, because I feel like everything in my life prepared me for this moment.
Yes.
To actually write this book at this point. You're right. Because people would attack me. Why don't you share your faith more in your previous books? I really felt like I was supposed to just lead people in a more positive direction. And I always say, God has a plan. I don't feel called to share scripture when I'm on a corporate stage. Like, that's just not my calling in that moment.
Right.
And I feel like God wants us to do marketplace ministry and just love people and be there for people and walk. And I think that's my thing. I've been walking with people. You walk with people. You develop a relationship with them. I've been doing that with my readers, developing a relationship with my audience. And now that I have that relationship, it's like, okay, we have this relationship. You know I'm real. You know I have integrity. You know this is who I am. You know I care about you. You don't have to believe what I believe for me to love you. So if you don't believe in any of this, that's fine. But I have to share the truth with you, and I'm going to share it. And I'm doing it in a loving way. And that's what I felt like I was meant to do at this point with this book right now. And I love that you see that. And
totally.
Thank you for sharing it. When does this come out, Jason?
This is going to be a couple days before the actual book releases. So it'll be like less than a week.
Okay. I appreciate that. Yeah. I hope people get the book and then share it. And then especially, you know, read it with your teenagers, because I really believe with so many giving up their life, this book is actually going to save lives.
I believe that too. The one truth. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Jason.
And many thanks to John Gordon for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. His website's johngordon.com. You can learn more about all the books that he's written, 27 of them. I've read a good portion of them. The Energy Bus is a fantastic book to go through with your team. The Carpenter is my personal favorite book that he's written. Training Camp is phenomenal for sports teams. But this book, the brand new one, The One Truth, this is going to help a lot of people. And I think teams are going to want to read it. Certainly people of faith are going to want to read it, but I think it's going to open up doors for people who are skeptical or seeking or not quite sure about why they're going through what they're going through. Well, The One Truth, John's book, is really a great way to, I think, remind us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not us. It's not anything that we can do. We point to him. And John's doing that with his new book. So I'm excited. Go get your copy of The One Truth. It's releasing June 27th, just a few days from now. So you can order your copy now on Amazon, have it delivered to you by the time it releases in just a few days. And again, appreciate John Gordon for joining us and returning to Sports Spectrum. We thank you for tuning in. We love you guys. The fact that you chose to invest, 30, 40 minutes with Sports Spectrum, that means a ton to us. And I mean that. We've grown an audience now over the past 5 or 6 years that has reached almost 5 million downloads on this podcast, which is just mind-blowing to me. It really is that many people would listen to our show. But I think it's because there are a lot of people out there who love sports, certainly, but love Jesus and want to learn and want to hear stories of transformation, if you will, like our other show, The Transformed Podcast with Jabe McCarthy. I think people want to hear those stories. And John's got a story like that. You know, I have a story like that. And hopefully every person that we have on this podcast shares a story that is transforming. So we appreciate you for tuning in. You can find us at our website, sportsspectrum.com. You can go there each and every day for updated content. You can smash that subscribe or that follow button on the app you're listening to so you don't miss any other episodes. And then you can tell someone about Sports Spectrum, which would mean a ton. Let them know that we exist, that we've been out here since 1985 with the sole desire to point people to Christ, and we're just using sports as a way to do that. Thanks for tuning in. We love you guys, and we'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum. Have a great rest of your day.